Hello. Hello. Character because he was somebody.
Big fan.
You gotta see.
Good, good, good. Please, please.
I was thinking we should
institute
that tonight on
James
Corden.
Oh, yeah,
we'll do that. French fries.
Hey.
Hi, how are you?
Good, good, good.
Good, good, good. Sunglasses.
Oh, that's cool. That's so cool right there.
You're good, though, Sonny.
Bronny. It's my Bronny shirt.
Yeah.
You know about Bronny, huh? Bronny shirt.
That's awesome.
What was the guy? What was his name? The Bronny man?
Yeah, Bronny.
Yeah,
right. You didn't have a name.
So when Jamie Foxx beat you up, Michelle.
Yes.
I feel like don't hurt that beautiful woman. What was that scene like to actually shoot that part? Mm. Man, I felt kind of bad for you.
Oh, no. You should have felt bad for
her.
Yeah. I thought you were going to go through the window.
Yeah. No, exactly. No, it was a lot. It was a lot of fun, you know. It was one of the things that drew me to the role. I like how physical she was and sort of, I guess, how kind of frustrated and driven this woman was. And then she sort of, it culminates sort of in this scene. So, I liked that challenge. And so I trained for it really intensely for a couple of months. Because I knew that we were going to essentially spar, and I didn't want to hurt him, or, you know, I wanted to be as prepared as possible, but despite that, I did actually connect with his face and chipped his tooth, unfortunately. But it was a lot of fun, and I really appreciated that Jamie allowed me to do that, and we had... We had really just a couple of days to choreograph the scene, because the set wasn't really ready, so... it was down and dirty, and we really went for it.
Did it.
The director said you teased her. Were you trying to...
I teased her?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, leading up to it off camera a little bit. That's what he's saying. That you're,
I don't remember.
You're a character.
Which
okay.
Movie was he shooting?
like what? Like, I don't ever remember that. I don't remember.
Maybe that's just your natural with everybody.
Yeah, teased me. No, he never taunted me,
No, there was...
none of that.
But she did clock me in the tooth.
I did.
Which is actually not my tooth, this is all porcelain, so... you know, but she chipped that a little bit, and then...
I did, I was on top of him and just went connected, and immediately, I mean, I felt that my knuckle kind of split, and then his tooth
saw. Yeah,
I could
taste that. You know how you, I don't know if you guys live the porcelain life, but you can taste that little chalk, you know. But I called my guy, my best friend is a dentist, we actually grew up together, and he lived in Atlanta, so he, you know, put a little spackle on it and got me back.
And I was confused, because the next day I was trying to, like, you know, sneak a peek. And I look and I'm like, it's fine. How is that? He grew his tooth back. I didn't want to talk about it. I was super embarrassed. I felt terrible. But I just found out. So that's super cool.
Jamie, as far as your process goes, since you have two daughters, you know, your son gets taken in this film.
Yeah. So I didn't care that much about him.
Did you create? What sort of scenarios did you create?
My son, that boy's 35 years old.
Did you create any scenarios involving your
daughters?
Did you
think about them? You don't do that necessarily, but you do think about, you know, your kids. You're like, man, what if, you know, somebody would take your kids? I mean, you go to the ends of the earth to try to protect them. So, but what I did do with Octavius, we had to really sort of, like, you know, bond. You know what I'm saying? Like, really bond as a father son. Thing. And so there was things that I would do to Octavius that were, you know, a little abrasive before we would shoot something.
Maybe you teased him.
Yeah, maybe he got Michelle confused.
Yeah.
But I would do things on purpose to him, especially at that moment when we're in the car, to sort of get him to the point of where he didn't like me. Because we got on the set, we were already sharing music, we were having a good time, you know. So when we first started shooting the first few things, it didn't feel like he really despised his father. So it was some things that I put him through that he was like, you know, he was almost in tears. Cutting. And then the next day, I go into it again. And he goes, hey, man, I'm cool. I got it now. You don't have to do all that. You know, he was serious. Like, you don't have to go through all that again. I But I think, you know, with movies like this, movies that you've sort of seen before, you know, sort of you know, similar plots and everything like that, you know, it was sort of important that we sort of, like, really sort of looked at it from a character standpoint to sort of really nail those character, you know, feelings and traits into the ground so things seem more organic. Yeah.
Michelle, and I love the your character. You don't identify her as a mother or a parent, which is not bad. I'm saying it's a good role because you're just this, like, risky cop.
Yeah.
To get this guy. Was it nice to play that?
It was, absolutely. I mean, I think that was one of the aspects, you know, it was like a role of female that you don't oftentimes see. I mean, as you said perfectly, it's like you don't know much of her backstory. I mean, certainly for me, she was a single woman, and you know, as you kind of immediately start out, as you were saying, sort of Kojak way, like you know, the story's already sort of happening, and you kind of drop into it. You find out that she's coming off of a bad bust, you know, a bust gone wrong, probably, or maybe her own bad call, and she gets hurt, and then she's like the butt of a lot of jokes in a man's world, and she's very frustrated, and she, you know, when she runs into him, she's immediately suspicious, and, you know, she just jumps on his tail, like she wants to sort of redeem herself or whatever it is, and probably to her own detriment, she's, you know, slightly flawed, and is again, like, lives kind of in this gray world, kind of breaks the law in her own way, you know, just trying to somehow prove herself. Or prove to somebody else. So that was a unique role that I haven't had the opportunity. Really. Yeah, so I dug it. Thank you.
Jamie, talk a little bit about getting this project in your hands, and we've missed you, you know, so we want to know how did this project come into your hands. And
Well, I'm sorry you missed me.
We're glad to have you back.
I mean, you know, it's... The project was sort of organic, you know, meeting Bo and what he wanted to do with the project and everything like that. And you just, you know, it's like with anything. You just sort of get it on his feet, talk about who's going to be in it, and then you have this whole plan. You know, you go off and you train, whatever. And then once the camera turns on, however, you know, it takes on its own life and everything like that. And that's really it. It's like, you know, we sometimes it's sort of tough in a world where, you know, there's the reboot film or the big franchises, and when you try to sort of dip off and get, you know, original things done, it's sort of, it's a little tough right now, but this is really cool. And then I learned a lot, you know, behind the camera, as I've been sort of watching, sitting over the shoulders of, you know, Michael Mann or all of us that were. And so even after this film, I went and shot my own little, you know, comedy, you know. And so it's just been like a, you know, it's been a cool little run.
The comedy, is that something? I'm sorry. Do you want to talk about that? Can you talk about it?
Well, I mean, yeah, it's called All-Star Weekend. It's about two guys. One loves Steph Curry. The other one loves LeBron James. All they're trying to do is get to the All-Star game. And some of the stuff in this film.
It's very funny.
Some of the people that came out, and it's you know, it's under like 6 million. We shot like 18 days.
Wow.
But the people that came out, and I can't tell you one person. Jeremy Piven plays the opposite me. He plays the one who loves Steph Curry, and I play the one who loves LeBron James. It's really, like I was telling her, it's really refreshing. It's really cool to sort of take all the stuff that you've learned and stuff that's rubbed off on you, and then to put it into play and actually see, like, oh, snap, this is, you know, oh, man, it's crazy. So,
yeah. I was going to ask that, like, if you were working on a project right now that's different from other stuff that you've worked on, or if you want to do a role that you've been wanting to do, maybe a character that you want to play that you haven't yet, is there, like, something that's been kind of, maybe for both of you guys, that you guys want to portray in the big screen soon?
Nothing in particular. You know, I always have, you know, various ideas. But I would like to do a biopic of someone. Yeah.
Yeah.
Jamie's
feeling it.
Yeah.
You got me.
Specifically, and I haven't really talked to him about it, but you know, I've worked with Pete Berg and this film called
Dirty
Patriot's Day, and you know, I want to work with him. You know, he does a lot of obviously nonfiction and true life stories, but they're always sort of male centric. And I would like to do something female centric. I'm in the process of trying to find something, and you know, I guess I'm just officially letting him know right now. So I like to put it out there in the universe.
Jamie, you had some grueling fight scenes. What was the most difficult for you to get through? There's so many great ones, like the pool and the kitchen.
The kitchen.
Give us a couple of behind the scenes of what was going on.
It was just like, you know, the kitchen thing was crazy. Like, you know, because we was like fighting for a long time. And even my man that I was fighting against, you know, sometimes we had to take some breaks and stuff like that. I was like, man, this is a moment. But it was a lot of fun though, because like we was talking about, you know, back in the day when you was growing up, you know, you want to play cops and robbers, you want to do all these, you know, badass things, you know, growing up watching Bruce Lee and all these kind of things. So, you know, Jeff.
They came from that, Imada, yeah.
Jeff Imada, you know, they were teaching us all this cool stuff, which is interesting because my daughter could tag along, my 8-year-old could tag along. She's 8 now, but she was like 6 and a half at the time. But she also takes martial arts, so was able to have her step in and do stuff like that. So it's kind of cool bringing your daughter to work and watch her, you know, get ready to kick some tail. So it was just all fun, man.
What was it like working with the cast, the surrounding cast?
I mean, like we were go ahead.
Jamie, he wants to. He really wants to.
He was hugging. I think we should do the next one.
We're both pretty easygoing, and we had a great time together. And Gabrielle is awesome. She's like a Midwest gal. I think she's from Michigan originally. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And T.I., you guys all go way back. Yeah. It's a nice bunch. Scoops. One of David. Yeah. David, everybody's super cool, super nice.
I heard that was actually his gun. The director was telling us that Scoot, that was his gun at the end.
That wasn't his gun.
Yeah. It wasn't his gun?
Man, the director is going
I guess we should ask him, what was it like on the set then, too?
Back in there.
Let's say
it's so straight.
Left the movie.
Was he directing Bad Boys?
Bo told us about how committed you are as an actor. There was one extensive shooting at night where you're behind the wheels and you're kind of trying to sleep it off. And then when he said action, you're on alert.
When you fall asleep? Yeah. Driving?
Did that happen?
That's what he told us. That's what he told us.
He's resting his eyes.
What's going on with Bo, man?
Oh, man. Well, now we have a second source on that. If anyone,
not at all.
No.
Well, were you exhausted by the end? I mean, you're just nonstop action from start to finish. That was my first thought. I'm like, oh my god.
I mean, this really wasn't made over one night. We weren't really like fighting to stay awake. We shot it over like 40 days.
Right. You know? Yeah, all the behind the scenes.
But if it looks like that, then we did a good job. Yeah.
We have to be physically in shape the whole time.
Well, but that's fun too. It's like, you know, being able to be in shape and working out.
It actually gives you more energy, I think. Mm-hmm. Like when you're moving at that pace, like, I mean, listen, I slept like a log every night, but you know, when you're running, you know, you've got that adrenaline and all day. It sort of keep, you know, you're up and you're like your motor is running. But yeah, at night you would completely, you know, I did, for instance, but
I went out to the club.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I was out with T.I. who was at his restaurant. He had some great food there.
Oh my gosh.
He just fried everything.
It's Atlanta, all the food. He fried everything. I ate my way through that city. It's so good.
Mm-hmm. Have you considered doing TV?
We just did a pilot. We did a pilot called White Famous. And I'm not the star of it, but Jay Farrell is the star of it. So we should get the word pretty soon. but it was cool comedy about, you know, a black comedian, like all of us. We started as a black comedian. We got our black audience, and everybody's like, yeah, man, you got to go pop, baby. White people got to know. You're like, oh, shit. And that usually means, that could sometimes mean the demise of us, because if we go and we do too much mainstream, then we lose our real audience. So it's like, oh, shit. So we actually start the pilot out on should he wear a dress or not for a part, because all black comedians like, man, you had to wear the dress. And I wore a dress. I mean, that's how I got on. But then sometimes wearing a dress will fuck you up, because like, I remember wearing a dress on A Living Color and In Vogue is there.
Wow.
And I'm like, oh man, I got a crush on them, but I'm in the dress. And I remember like talking to them like, yo, what's up? What y'all doing tonight? They're like, absolutely nothing. So he's met with that, you know, he has to wear a dress for this part, and he doesn't want to do it, and it's a part for a movie that I'm actually in. So he comes to talk to me in my dress room on set about wearing, should I wear a dress, because it's fucking with him. And I'm making a drink behind the bar. I said, oh, which one are you talking about? And then when I walk behind the bar, I actually have a skirt on. And I'm, you know, it's this whole, you know, this whole thing telling him that, you know, it's not that bad. You know, when I won the Oscar, I had to dress on underneath my clothes. You know? So it's a cool little concept.
What's your favorite genres to work with, work in, for both of you guys?
I mean, it's that's honestly impossible.
Yeah.
For me to answer. I mean, and I guess because my body of work is made
so
up
wide.
Of,
yeah,
it is
yeah.
so varied, you know? It's, I mean, I can definitely say that, like, you know, I like to do drama, and after I do a drama, I like to do something a little bit lighter, maybe try to find something comedic, and
I should rephrase that, like, what's the difference in terms of, like, the set life? Like, how the set experiences on different...
I mean, I find comedy to be the most challenging.
Okay.
For sure. I mean, I have complete respect, and I'm quite intimidated. You know, I mean, I remember the first time I had to do improv with Downey.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I didn't know what I was doing. I mean, when I got that role, I mean, I auditioned for it several times, or read with him, read with Shane. You know, I got the gig, and then I started work, like, the next day. And I remember Downey, we were in the hotel scene. It was, like, maybe your second day. And he was like, all right, we're outside getting ready to go into the hotel room. I'm supposed to be drunk and this and that. He was like, all right, we're going to improv this. And I was like, what the fuck did he just say? I was like, what? And he said, he's like, we're going to improv it. And I was like, what? I don't know what that, what do you mean? He's like, it means we're not going to say the words that Shane wrote. And it was like action, and then he was like, who's gotta eat a walk? He's like, you gotta stick a gum in it. He threw me a pack of gum, and I was like, yeah, I got some gum. You know, we went, and I remember I was sweating bullets.
Oh,
I was sweating bullets. But it actually worked, and it was fun, and there's nothing more exciting and liberating, because you just like prove something to yourself. You just taught yourself something, you know. You're like, okay, I'm not, you know, I'm a little bit more clever than I've given myself credit for, you know. So that's fun, but I'm always, you know, I just think that, I think I am kind of a funny person by nature, but I find that to be the most challenging and yet the most fulfilling.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I guess the same question for
Jamie. Jamie, yeah.
What's that?
He can do it.
Which genre do you feel is the most, you struggle the most with, the most complicated?
What's the most complicated?
Yeah. Because, I mean, you've also had such a well-rounded career so far.
Or at least back in the day, maybe, right?
Yeah.
If you can't think of anything now.
The most complicated... I guess you would say comedy is complicated, because you have to be serious about the comedy. Mm-hmm. and I know that's... But after shooting what we just shot, what I will tell you is that you being a great actress allows you to step into any... genre, you know what I mean? It's like when you, he already knew that if he throws it to you, you're gonna be able to handle it.
Yeah.
You know? So I think like with even what alleviates every hard situation is how great the actor or the actress is. And so like even shooting the thing we shot, the people that were on the other end of the camera that was shooting, I told them to say action, and I stepped away and watched brilliance. I mean, and I won't go into the list of people, but I watched brilliance of taking, I mean, and just, I mean, I was like, oh, get all that. Put that right there, get that pussy, get all that, keep doing what you're doing. I said, I'm going to overshoot this. And then there was, I know this is more talking about the process of it, but that's the thing. When you have someone who's very talented in acting, it makes things easier. When you have someone who's talented but not the savant, that's what I mean by that savant, meaning like I could just tell her go, and then she goes. When you don't have the savant, it makes it a little tougher, because I've worked with some people who like, what? We're ad-lib. Oh, no. I'm saying this, and unless you write it, you know, I won't say it. So that's when, you know, things get a little tough.
Yeah, Morgan Freeman actually told me he doesn't like when people tell him.
Morgan Freeman?
Yeah.
Seven deadly sins. Yeah. When the new Frank came to Shawshank, I thought to myself, Miss Daisy. So put all these movies together. Like, came to Shawshank, I thought, Miss Daisy, I took a cab in your span. He just wants the money.